So that was just a little clip of the church office that we did a little while back. If you've never had the opportunity to watch that, it's 17 minutes of your life that you'll never get back, but it's worth your time. It's really fun. We had a lot of fun shooting that, and that was just a little smidgen of that. And I asked the question of Brad, or I made the statement, I was so worried. You see, I think that that's something that, if we're honest, that many of us would say, that is worry, anxiety is part of my everyday life. I made a list, and I wouldn't say this is an exhaustive list by any means, but just a list of different things that we worry about. So I think we worry about money. We worry about what's going to happen when we die. We worry, what if I get divorced, or what if my kids get divorced, or what might happen. We worry about teenage drivers. If you have them in your home, you know what that's like. We worry about the bills. We worry, what are my kids going to do? Are they going to be accepted? Are they going to be liked? Are they going to make good grades? Are they... They're my kids, so I'm worried about them. We worry about our house, our mortgage. We worry about where we're going to go on vacation. We worry about what people think. We worry about if will I be able to take care of my family as a man. We worry about, am I going to get into college? Is this actually going to work? Like, am I going to get into the school inside the college I wanted to go to? We worry, will I get a good job that pays enough? We worry, will I ever find somebody to marry or to date, even in some of your cases? We worry, like, do I make good enough grades? Am I going to get a date to the prom? Am I going to spend my whole life alone? And that's like just 12 of them, right? And if I ask you to stand up, you could probably give us a list just like that of all the things that you worry about, that you panic about, that you freak out about on the regular occurrence, right? So, is that the life that God's called us to live? Is that the way that we live for the honor and glory of the name of Jesus? No. You see, a lot of you are in absolute, total bondage to all of the worries and anxieties that go through your mind. And what I've learned from my own experience in my own life is that all of my anxiety and my worries absolutely wreck us. It destroys the relationships we have with people. It destroys what relationship we attempt to have with God. It keeps me from being in the place where God's called me to be. It keeps me from doing the things that I'm supposed to do because I'm so worried. And then you can fill in your blanks about what you're worried about. But I'm here to tell you, based upon the authority of God's word, that that's not how you're supposed to live. That God has something better than for you to be destroyed by your anxiousness and your worries about whatever it is that you're worrying about. Here is normally what the process of worry looks like. All right, so it usually goes like this. Like, your palms get sweaty, your mind starts to race, your heart's beating, and it's like, I don't know. And sometimes it keeps you from going in the room. Sometimes it keeps you from doing what you're supposed to do. But it usually looks something like this. Like, we begin to obsess. So whatever it is. Whatever it is that you worry about, we'll just put money in there because that tends to kind of be one for everybody. So we obsess about money. Where's it going to come from? What's it going to be like? Am I going to have enough? What about my retirement? Did I save enough? Are we going to have, like, all those things? Like, we begin to obsess over it. And what happens is we begin to worry even more. And then the crazy thing of just how this cycle works is we worry and we obsess, and then we become entitled. We become so much about me that we, like, our life then revolves around me and my worries and what I think should happen or what might happen or all the dangerous things that could happen. And then life totally becomes about you and your worries and your deal and your stuff. And listen, if some of you stood up and shared your stories, you would, like, we probably would worry for you because of what you're walking through. So it becomes this cycle where we obsess and then we worry more, and then all of life becomes about us, and then we don't do the things that we're supposed to do. And it creates a nasty cycle. Listen, psychologists tell us that teenagers today, that the amount of anxiety that they carry day to day would have put somebody in the 50s in a mental hospital. And I'm here to tell you that that is not God's plan for your life. That's not the way that for you to live a life that honors Him and brings Him glory. And it doesn't matter this morning if you would say, you know what, this is my first time ever in church, or I've been in church since 9 months before the womb, I've never missed a Sunday, I'm really pursuing Jesus. I think this is something that every single one of us deal with. And if we allow ourselves to, we can be wrecked by our anxious thoughts and our worries. So I think the place to go when it comes to something like this, that's so practical yet so difficult to live out, is I think the place that we should go is we should go to the words of Jesus. Because if a man can predict his own death, burial, and resurrection, and it comes true, then I think that he probably should be and can be the authority to speak into our lives about stuff like this. So Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles. This is right in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And you think this morning my 35 minutes are going to feel like forever. Imagine this. This is five or three chapters here of Jesus teaching and preaching continuously. So just be thankful that that I have a countdown timer right here. It's only 35 minutes, right? This was forever. This was a long time of him talking, of him teaching there. So chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 25. The word there is, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Interestingly enough, right in the beginning, Jesus says, do not worry. Some of your translations, it says, do not be anxious. So, let's get this straight. Jesus cuts right to the chase, and he says, don't. He says it three times in this particular text, just like that. Don't worry. Do not be anxious, as we'll read down through here. So if Jesus said it, the tension is what goes through my mind on a daily basis. Because apparently if he said do not worry, then there must be a way that we don't have to live our lives with the anxiety and with the worries that we have. If Jesus assumes that this is possible, and he wouldn't have said it if it weren't possible, how is it that we accomplish this? What is it that we're supposed to do? Because he says, hey, listen, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. Life is more important than this, so don't worry about these things. Verse 26, he says, let me back up just a little bit. The word worry there, I want you to see this. It means to strangle or to choke. It means to have intense feelings of anxiety. And if you've ever been in that moment where your anxiety got the best of you, you know exactly what this feels like. What's going on in your head, the knots in your stomach, the heart racing, you know exactly what this is like. So to strangle or to choke, to have intense, intense feelings of anxiety. Then verse 26, it says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So he says, listen, when it comes to this idea of your food, like Jesus feeds the birds of the air. They have to go gather it. It's there for them to provide, but they don't store it up. They don't have other things that they do. Literally, he feeds them. And you are so much more valuable. You are made in his image. You are so much more valuable than they are. So why are you worried about what you're going to eat or what's going to happen? Because he loves you more than the birds, more than the animal. But then he goes on and he says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Now, this is an interesting Greek term here, because it carries the idea of like extending your arms out. Anybody been able to just all of a sudden go Inspector Gadget and have go Gadget arms? I just totally dated myself, because some of you are like, that's funny, and the rest of you are like, what are you talking about right now? All right? Anybody have that ability? You maybe have short arms. You're, as Brad referred to last week, a smaller person, and you have short arms. You ever just been able to say go, right? No, it doesn't happen. But that's the idea that Jesus says. Is like you're not going to be able to extend this. You won't be able to extend your life by worrying. You're not going to actually add anything to your life by worrying. So he says, listen, you're worried about what you're going to eat or what's going to happen, and your Heavenly Father's got you. He loves you. Then it says, if you're worried about whatever it is that you worry about, there's nothing you can do. You're not going to, it's just going to wreck your life. It's not going to add to your life. It's not going to be better for you in the long run. Verse 27, which we read there, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So I made this list, and we'll bring it on the screen for you, because I said this, anxiety wrecks everything. Your worries, it wrecks everything. And so it's a giant list, but I wanted you to see that. So anxiety, it makes you older faster. It doesn't add to your life. It makes you older faster. Your worries, it messes up your health. I read something this week that said that people who are worriers, that they're more likely to have heart problems, to have respiratory problems, to have mental issues because of their worries. And it can all be traced back to their anxiousness and their anxieties, and they're playing all the, well, this might happen, or what if this happens, and all the game that your mind plays on you, the tricks that the enemy plays on you to steal your joy. So it messes up your health. The object of your worry, it consumes your mind. And you know what I'm talking about. It gets you, and it's all that you can think about. It's all that you can talk about. It's there, and it never leaves you nor forsakes you like Jesus. It just is always there. It consumes your mind. You lose sleep. It stops you from being productive. It causes you to mistreat others, because what happens is you become so me-focused because of your anxiousness and your worries and your desires and all the things that you have going on, that you end up mistreating the people around you. You end up acting like you know better than acting towards the people who are there trying to help you. So it causes you to mistreat others, and then ultimately, I think that it wrecks your relationship with the Lord. Because ultimately you're saying with all your worries, God, I don't trust you to be my provider. God, I don't trust that you're the one that's in control and that you got me and you're never going to drop me. I'm always yours. And life becomes so much about you and your thoughts and your stuff that you're consumed with, that you forget all about your relationship with the Lord. It absolutely wrecks life for us. And it's not the way that Jesus designed you to live. It is sin for us to live that way. It is literally to miss the mark of what God has for us. So then, Let's read on there in verse 28. And he says, so why do you worry about clothes? So there's your next category there. He says food, about life, about clothes. He says, see how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. So he says, listen, all this stuff, like you worry about what you're going to wear or what's going to happen, these things. He says, listen, God has taken the lilies of the field, the flowers there, and he clothes them, and they are beautiful. How much more is your heavenly Father going to do that for you and going to take care of you and provide for you? That even Solomon, even King Solomon, the wisest man in the world, one of the richest men, even he couldn't be in all of his glory and majesty, couldn't be dressed like one of these. Yet, we panic about it. Anybody have those moments where, like, well, I got nothing to wear, and you're freaking out about what you're supposed to wear, and there's like 700 things of clothes right there in front of you, right? I mean, nobody else has that moment. That's all ladies that have that. That's none of us guys. It never happens to me, ever, all right? And it's like, okay, we're obsessing over ourselves at that moment. Verse 30, he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, so it's here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So he says, how much more is he going to take care of you? How much more will he provide for you? If he does that for them, you were created in his image. You are his son, his daughter when you're in Christ. How much more will he take care of you? Because he says, you of little faith. Here's what happens to us. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you trusted Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You asked him to be your Savior. So you trusted him for salvation. You trusted him based upon his word to provide a place for you to live and dwell for all of eternity with him. You've trusted him to provide this place, but you won't trust for him to provide for your needs. So you're good with trusting him for your eternity. But you know what? God, you're not good enough to provide for my needs day to day to day. That's what we do when we worry, is we're saying, God, you're not trustworthy. So I wrote this down. And that was this, and this won't be on the screen. This was something that the Lord brought this morning as I was reading through this. It's our worry is about who and what we place our faith in. The things that we worry about, it's about who and what we place our faith in. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. He says, you don't trust your Heavenly Father to be your provider. And usually our worries and our anxieties is because, you know what? God, I'm not quite sure that I trust that you'll take care of my kids. God, I'm not quite sure that you'll trust that you'll take care of me when I'm 70. God, I'm not quite sure that I trust that whatever we're walking through that you'll take care of me. So I've got to figure all this stuff out on my own. And I realized that my personality is I do have some things that can come to mind for me, but I don't sit and dwell on all the things that could happen and might happen and all the what ifs. That's not my personality. And I realize that some of you have kind of a propensity that would be what you do. Like you're a worrier. It's just who you are. It's been who you are since you were 2 years old. As long as you can remember, you were a worrier. But what Jesus says is, he says, don't be a worrier. Meaning, there's a way to live life without those kind of thoughts. And some of you are like, well, what would I even think about if I don't worry? That's how much you end up being a worrier. And Jesus says, ultimately, that this is a faith issue. So, worry says, God isn't trustworthy. Where he says, God, I can't trust you to be the provider, the healer, the protector. I can't trust you to do those things. So with all this crazy, I'll tell you this, like all this crazy, like all the stuff that's been put out there, like are they going to rezone, redistrict? Like we don't technically live in Springville, so like will our kids get to go to Springville schools? We're going to have to drive 25 minutes to elementary school. Like we've been a little anxious about all that different stuff that's going on, and I don't even know what's true and what's not true because you know how stuff goes on social media. And that's where we get all our news from. So who knows really actually what's true? And we found ourselves like, well, we bought the house we bought, and we live in the neighborhood we live in because we wanted to be here. We wanted to be close to the church, and we wanted to our kids to go to Springville schools. And like, what if they get rezoned out of it and all these things that are going to happen? And I remember just talking with Jen and just saying, you know what? No. God called us to move, and we are certain that He called us to, He placed us in the home, in the neighborhood that He placed us in. And you know what? If they rezone us and we have to drive 20 minutes to school or 25 minutes to school, then that's where we're supposed to be next. Because God is trustworthy. He always has our best interest in mind. But some of us, we don't believe that. And you would say, yeah, I do believe that. I'm supposed to believe that because I'm a follower of Jesus and like that's good church. So yeah, I believe that. But it's not practically lived out in your thoughts and in your mind. Your worry says, God, ultimately, you're not trustworthy. I got this and I'll be the protector, provider, and I'll be the one that takes care of those things. And you think you got it over Him? You think in your little mind that you can handle it better than God can? Because most of us do. So then worry says God isn't trustworthy. Worry says my circumstances matter more than the Lord. Worry says, you know what, God, I'm not going to do the things that you've told me to do because our circumstances are bleak right now, or they're a little tough, and there's, you know what, it's just easier for me to do what I know right here as opposed to trust you and to follow you. Worry says, my ways are better. I don't need you, Lord. And I know that's not real cool to say. That's not like, well, what your intentions are, so to speak, with your worries, but that's ultimately what you're saying. God, I got it. I don't really need your help. And then worry says, ultimately, I'm smarter than you, God, because I got it. I can figure it out, and I don't need your help. And then Jesus goes back in verse 31, and He says it again. So do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what shall we wear? So again, that same phrase. So don't worry. Easy, because now some of you are worried about your worries. That's what's happening right now, is you're getting anxious about all your anxieties right now. He says, don't worry what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. But then, this is very interesting, the language He uses. So for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. So He says, listen, here's what's going on. You're acting like an unbeliever. He says, so someone who's not in Christ, they we would expect that that's the life that they would live. But not someone who professes to be a follower of Jesus. That this life of worry shouldn't be a person who's a follower of Christ. Like that shouldn't be that man, that shouldn't be you, it shouldn't be me, if we profess that Jesus is Lord and Savior of our lives. He says that's the way that the unbelievers act and live their lives. It should not be a characteristic of who you are. He says, so your Heavenly Father's got you. He knows what you need. He knows where you are. And the things that are important to you. He knows your thoughts. And then, interestingly enough, He says this. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So He says, the stuff you worry about, what you'll eat, what you'll have to drink, what your life is like, all these things, like, instead of being so focused on all those things, He uses this word. He says, seek first His kingdom. That word seek in the original Greek language, it would take the meaning of keep on seeking. So it's not a one time, well, I did it once and now it didn't work, but it literally means that I keep on seeking first His kingdom. Kingdom means His rule, His reign, or His will, His dominion. So instead of me seeking my own kingdom and my own stuff and my own deal, He says, no, pursue His kingdom. Pursue the things that are of God. Pursue the things that His word tells us to do. I wrote it down like this. Instead of me seeking my own good, I'm to pour out my life in obedience to Him and to His kingdom. And instead of me seeking my own good, I'm to pour out my life in obedience to Him and His kingdom. You see, our anxiety, our worries comes from being focused on who? Me. My needs, my stuff. What will my kids get? What will my retirement be like? What will my grades look like? Will I ever get someone? Like that? That's what our focus is. Me, myself, and I, the world that I live in. And Jesus flips the script here and He says, no. Instead of your focus being you and your needs and all these things, instead, seek my kingdom. Walk daily in obedience to the things that my word tells you to do. So what does it mean to be righteous? Because He says that in these things there, that seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Well, first off, positionally, when we confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior in Christ Jesus, when we ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of our lives, then positionally, we are declared righteous in the eyes of God. That means that we are declared by the blood of Jesus not guilty anymore. So if you are in Christ, then you are considered positionally righteous. But practically speaking, it's a little more difficult to live that out. Practically speaking, it's the way that we live. So it's the pursuit of a relationship with the Lord. Or in other words, it's seeking Him and His kingdom and His righteousness. So positionally, once we're in Christ, we're considered righteous, covered by the blood of Jesus. Our debt, our sin has been paid for in full. But then positionally, this is how we live our lives day by day by day. That's why He uses the term. And it's like this: keep on seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. So as you begin to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, then what He says is that all these things are added unto you. They're taken care of. He's the provider because your Heavenly Father loves you, never stopped loving you. He never stopped providing for you. He will be the one that protects your kids. He'll be the one that helps you in the tough times. So instead of us being so focused on me, we're focused on His kingdom, on the things of His kingdom. Then what He says is that as we do this, then our worries begin to fade away. And it's here that we really find Him as the ultimate provider. It's right here when I begin to seek Him that's where I really find Him as the one who comforts, as the one who provides for me. But for most of us, we've never truly known Him as provider, as protector, because we think we got it ourselves. And we think that with our guns and our stuff that we got it. We can protect our family. We've got enough nest egg in the bank, so I'm good to go. We followed Dave Ramsey's plan, and I'm for Dave Ramsey. I'm not anti-Dave at all. Like, we followed all that stuff, and so we're good. We're comfortable. We're secure in these things. But really what God says is you don't need that stuff. Seek my kingdom and my righteousness. And as you do that, that's where you find that He is, as your Heavenly Father, becomes your protector, your provider. It's a different way to live, and it's a different way of life. I do not think that with one talk this morning that you're going to magically poof and worry's going to be gone out of your life. I'm not crazy enough to think that, because if it was, it would have already been gone. Because the most of you know this. You know what the Scriptures say about this. But what I do hope this morning is that you would understand that your anxiousness, your worries, it's a faith issue. Are you going to trust in what you can see? Or are you going to trust in the one who's your Heavenly Father, who's your the ultimate provider for you? Then the final verse there, Jesus says this, verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry. Man, that's that same phrase again. About tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He says, listen, don't. Tomorrow's going to be tomorrow, and it's going to come, and it's going to happen. And you're going to have stuff that you have to deal with. Today, seek first His kingdom. So, interestingly enough, I found this week in some of my preparation for this, and I thought this was one of the most incredible quotes that I could have found on this particular topic. And it says, the surest way to know what you haven't surrendered to Jesus is to consider what you're worrying about. You want to know what you're seeking, your kingdom and not His kingdom? Then go through this week and make a list of all the things that you worry about. And some of you are like, well, I'd have to get a whole entire notebook to write all that down. You find the things that you're worrying about, and I'll show you the things that you have not given your life, that you're not seeking first His kingdom in. My faith in my Heavenly Father it is our faith in our Heavenly Father that we need to in turn seek Him. So it's because of my faith in my Heavenly Father that I will in turn seek Him first. Because of my faith in my Heavenly Father, so I will seek Him first. So Jesus takes it all the way back. He says, do not worry. Do not be anxious. Don't do these things. But then, interestingly enough, He says, this is a faith issue. Will you follow and trust in your Heavenly Father? Or will you trust in your own abilities, in your own ways, and in your own mind of how to make things happen? Have you ever heard this term, helicopter parents? Anybody heard this term, helicopter parents? All right, so a helicopter parent, like it used to be like there was different terms and different that psychologists use or whatever, but a helicopter parent is not the hovercraft parent. The hovercraft parent is the one who just constantly is always right there with their kids, and they're moving like, oh, you're right here, be careful, babe, as you're going down steps or whatever. Like, let me tell you what your parent, what helicopter parents do. Helicopter parents are the parents who, instead of just hovering over their kids, making sure that everything's perfect and everything's always right and they never have any issues, never have anything going on, helicopter parents are the ones, they land the plane right there where the kids are. So their kids are 26 and mom's still going on job interviews with them. That's legitimate. I'm not making that up. That's a helicopter. They land the thing right there with them, and they're with them every single step of the way. Do you know, though, what you're doing if you're this way? As a mom, as a dad, all of your worries, do you know what you're doing? This generation has more anxiousness than any generation ever before. And I think it's because the generation in front of them had more anxieties and more worries than anybody ever before. And this cycle, you're passing that on to your kids. And it will wreck their future if you don't deal with the sin in your own heart, in your own life as a mom and as a dad. I'm telling you, I've seen it. The sins of the father passed down to their kids, and this is one of them. And I promise you, if you have kind of that, like, it's just my nature that I'm going to do this and be a worrier and be kind of panicked about everything, you do not want to pass that on to your kids because it's going to be even worse for them. So you this morning get your heart right with Jesus. And you this morning say, you know what? I'm going to take every thought captive. And every time the anxiousness comes in, maybe all you can whisper is, God, you're good. God, you've got me. And you begin to tell your mind and say, you know what? I don't have to think this way and live this way. Because God, I absolutely trust you. I'm telling you, it will wreck the next generation They will not do the things that God's called them to do because of the worry and the anxiousness that you're passing on to your kids. So stop. Repent this morning and turn away from the sin that's in your life. And I know that's harsh. And you don't hear it from me very much this hard, but I'm telling you, I see it. And I don't want to see it wreck your kids' life and your grandkids' life. And wreck your life, because it's not just them, it's yours too. The scriptures tell us, Jesus said it, do not worry. Your heavenly Father's got you. So this morning, will you trust Him with every aspect of your life? Will you walk in obedience to His Word? Or will you say, God, you're not trustworthy? Because that's what you're saying if you choose to not trust Him. Let's pray together. God, I confess that I feel so unworthy to even deliver a message like this. God, it's easy for me to stand up and say, hey, don't worry. Stop worrying. But God, I know that there are a lot of people who there are a lot of knots in their stomach over the things that are going on, bigger than a financial issue or something that's going on with their kids. But God, I'm not totally sure why you led me down this road this morning, led us down this road, but God, I know that you are, and I trust that you're sovereign and in control of all things. And this morning, I pray for repentance all over this place, that God, we would stop worrying and we would trust in you and your goodness, and that by your grace, we would walk with you. Father, for the one who's on the edge of their seat and they're just not sure what to do because of the circumstances of life, I pray that you would show them that you're still good and that you're still in control. God, for the one who's not even sure how they would think if they didn't worry, God, I pray that step by step, minute by minute, that they would take those thoughts captive and they would say, no, I trust you, Father. That they would take your word and they would implant it in their hearts and their minds, and that it would take root and root out the worry and the sin and the anxiety, and God, that it would be an issue of trusting in your goodness and in your perfect grace and your perfect timing. God, I pray for this generation of students who have more anxiety than anyone ever before, that you would move and work. God, that they would look to you and they would trust you in spite of what they're being told at home and oftentimes. God, that they would know that you're good and that your words are good. Father, for the one this morning who they need to repent, that they need to turn to you for salvation, I pray that you would move and work. God, that they would respond to your grace so that they too would be declared righteous in your eyes. Wherever we're at this morning, I pray that you would move and work in our hearts and minds.